found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in. We say hello to you on a Thursday. Jim and Trent, you can always get in on the program at 264-1700. Again, that is 264-1700. Great show lined up for you today. Trent, are you enjoying the summer-like temperatures?
No, Jimmy B. No, of course not. Once it gets over 40, which we are approaching, and I can get out the shorts, then yes. But,
okay.
Yeah, it's better than it has been, but let's slow down here. We're not hanging out on Miami Beach right now.
No, we are not. But, man, oh, man, it's better than what we have had for 2 weeks. So we will definitely take this. All right, let's start with what took place last night. Both teams, Iowa and Iowa State, in action. Where do I begin with Iowa? You and I both thought that it would be a bad night for Iowa State at TCU, and it was.
Not that bad, though, Jim.
Let's slow down.
I'm patting ourselves on the back here. We didn't think it was going to be like that.
No, we didn't expect blowout city, but we did expect them to lose, and they did. Iowa, on the other hand, we felt had a chance, but we weren't sure which team was going to show up. The team that we saw the first half against Illinois or the team we saw in the second half against Illinois. It's pretty obvious that the team we saw in the first half against Illinois was the team that showed up against Rutgers, partner.
Yeah, it's frankly a bad basketball team. Bad basketball team, and there are a lot of reasons for it that we can get into, and we're going to here today because that's what we do. And for the frustrated Hawkeye and Cyclone fans out there, we got some open time here at the top of the show. You can dial it up at 515-264-1700. But Jimmy B, as you look at this squad and just how it's constructed, we've talked about not enough guards, big guys, maybe not pieces that fit together very well, but it almost feels like there has to be something deeper here. You don't take a team that returns everybody of consequence, adds a freshman with, I think, a lot of upside in Luka Garza, and a guy that maybe down the road can turn into a good player in Jack Nungy. You add those pieces, and you go from a team that was a game away from being an NCAA tournament team. A team a year ago that, though Peter Jack was a leading scorer, he wasn't with the team for two games a year ago, and they still played incredibly well without him. You don't go from that team to the product that we've seen on the floor throughout the Big Ten schedule and really all throughout this basketball. It doesn't happen that way unless there's something deeper going on. And I wonder, I go back to even before the season began. Mm-hmm. Christian Williams decides that he's going to transfer out. It was a bit odd, but at the time you could understand it. He was a point guard, or at least they try to make him into a point guard. He had some struggles. He had some deficiencies. But the biggest part about that was the coach's son was coming in. And you were bringing in McCaffrey to be the backup point guard. Now, at the time, we still thought he was going to play baseball when Williams decided he moved. But you wonder if that has shaken up the chemistry of this team. Not Christian Williams leaving, but having the son there. Because I'm searching for answers, Jimmy B. This could be a huge stretch. This could be the stretch of all stretches. I really don't know, but I'm just trying to get inside the minds of these guys of what's going on and how it can be this bad. And it looks like they don't care. That's the thing that I struggle with most. And we'll get to Iowa State because they had some of the same issues last night as we were subject to four straight hours of god-awful basketball last night from the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones. Just awful. And it wasn't because they lost. It's not because they got blown out. We've all seen the teams here, the state, get blown out at different times if you watch any college basketball throughout the years. But to do it in that fashion, to lose to Rutgers, and to get blown out, and to give up the easy layups, and give up the open threes, and do the same things, how can a team, Jim, answer the question for me if you can, how can a team go from what we saw a year ago to the product that's on the floor right now?
It has to be something with the coaching staff. And I don't know if it's the head coach, because everything starts from the top, which is McCaffrey, and trickles down, or if it's just not working in practice the way the coaches think that it'll work. Trent, last night, they tried everything defensively. Started in man. Went through a 2-3 zone. Went through a 3-2 zone. Went through a 1-3-1 zone. And by the end of the game, it turned into a slam dunk contest. And trust me, Rutgers won going away. Even the Russian judge gave him an 8.5. I was dumbfounded watching that game. And at halftime, I thought, all right, they showed a little spark there, trying to close the gap at half. Maybe they'll come out and make a run similar to what they did against Illinois.
That was the hope. Rutgers, yeah, that was the hope.
Yeah.
We've seen this team, even the losses to Michigan and Ohio State, they've come out and they competed at the beginning of the second half. You had that to be hopeful for at the half. Go on.
Mm-hmm. And it started, and they kind of traded baskets, and then all of a sudden, Iowa went on a little mini run and started to close the gap. And you thought, okay, all right, maybe they have flipped the switch here a little bit, and they're going to really make this a competitive battle till the end. Trent, they got to within, I believe, 6, and then Rutgers hit a couple of shots, and it looked like everybody just dropped their heads from up on top of their shoulders down to their waistband. And from then on, it was, all right, we're done, we're toast, we're just throwing our hands up and giving up. I couldn't really believe what I was seeing. And then when the dunk contest began with a couple of minutes left, that was the ultimate topper, that Rutgers is just slam dunking on the Hawks like they're a grade school team. So I don't know if McCaffrey has totally lost this team or if this team is so dysfunctional that no matter what they try, it's just not going to work. I'm really conflicted. Is it truly all on the coaches, or does this team just totally stink and they just cannot play together the way that they are constructed? That's it. Because there are players on this team. You and I both know that. We saw Bohannon go off in the second half again.
Yeah, the 9-0.
There are players.
Yeah. The 9-0 run to get him back into it after they trailed early on. It gave him an early lead.
Yeah.
This team is talented. They have talent on the team. Tyler Cook's a talented guy. Jordan Bohannon is talented. I think Isaiah Moss is talented. He drives me nuts the way he plays, but I think he's talented. Garza, Bear, Pemsel, Daly. These guys all have talent, Jimmy B, but it's not working. It's not working.
That's my thought process, Trent. Why is it not working? Is it because of the coaching that they're getting, or is it because, A, they don't have a on-court leader? That
there you
is
go.
Painfully obvious.
I think you're onto something right there. You're onto something right there. So right now, your senior class consists of Dom Ewell. Who doesn't play? Dom Ewell showed a lot of promise early in his career. You know, halfway through his sophomore campaign, he was looking like he was on his way to becoming an all Big Ten type of player, and it completely fell apart. The other guy that's supposed to be a senior in this class, Trey Dickerson. Well, he's out of Georgetown right now as a grad transfer out there. Brady Ellingson, though he redshirted, he was part of that class. So that's a group of your underclassmen. Then you go to the following recruiting class. Christian Williams, not around. Ahmad Wagner doesn't play much anymore. Andrew Fleming, nowhere to be found. Brandon Hutton, nowhere to be found. Isaiah Moss, redshirted as a redshirt sophomore, but he was a part of that class. And Dale Jones, he's up in North Dakota, shooting triples up there. Those are your upperclassmen, Jimmy B. Those are your upperclassmen. And I think this is a big reason. There isn't that veteran leadership to pull guys aside, to pull them out and say, this is not the way we play. We don't allow these things to happen. It's still a young team. It's a young team, and that's why I think you can still be hopeful for the future. But when you don't have any upperclassmen that you can count on, your only upperclassman that really plays is Nicholas Bear, and the kid came on as a walk-on. What kind of sway does a guy like that have? And he's not a guy. You don't see him grabbing guys by the jersey and pulling them away.
No,
you don't see that. There's no fire. There's no tenacity, and I just... It's frustrating watching this team because, like I said, they're talented enough. They're talented enough to be a game away from the NCAA tournament last year. They're talented enough with that group a year older to be in that same spot. But something's amiss here. Something is concerning. Something is off. And, Jim, for the life of me, I can't figure it out.
You know, it's the biggest head-scratcher that I've seen from major college hoops in some time. It really is. Because this team, and people say, well, they're real young. No, they have young players, but the majority of those players all played significant minutes last year. That's the difference. They are experienced players with a full year of Big Ten competition under their belt. So they know the rigors of the conference. I wish I had an answer for you. I wish I had an answer for our listeners. I just have come to the point now where they're getting to, I don't give a damn. And it's a shame that that's going to be the way this team will be remembered by the end of this season, the I don't give a damn team. But unfortunately, I think right now, Trent, that's exactly where they are. I don't like it. I get a kick out of people screaming that, oh, you got to fire McCaffrey right now. Yeah. No, you're not doing that. You're not doing that. Look, this is, I hope it's an anomaly year. I really do. I hope that this is like one and done, so to say, and they get back on track next season. But right now, partner, they have totally lost their way.
So that monstrosity finishes up. Well, at least we had Iowa State, which we both felt were going to hang around at least against TCU.
Yeah.
They come out, and then they do their best Hawkeye impression, and they play lackluster, and they play like they don't care. Jimmy B, make it end. Make it. You know how much I love college basketball. We finally get here, and everybody sucks. It's terrible. I'm sick of it already.
I thought Steve Prohm's head was going to blow off his shoulders. I mean, it was only, what, 5 or 6 minutes into the first half of play, and he called timeout and lit into his team. I mean, look, when you walk out and you expect your guys to at least give it a go, Trent, they weren't even in the game. The game was over in the first couple of minutes. And I know guys scored. Wigington scored in the game. Lard scored in the game. But they didn't. TCU didn't even have their starting point guard in Fisher, who's probably done for the year. Robinson, who takes over that spot, set a school record in 17 assists. And who we talked about yesterday, Vlad Brazianski, the 6'11 center, he just did whatever he wanted to do and scored like 622 points last night. They couldn't stop him. They couldn't defend the three. And I don't blame head coach Steve Prohm for losing his mind on the sidelines, although it kind of reminded me of Jim Carrey in The Mask, where he gets to take a look at the hot babe on the stage and his eyeballs fly out of his head. I thought that was going to happen to Prohm. I really did.
It was a disappointing effort at the very least. Yeah, the effort is a thing that you struggle with. They've lost games. They're going to lose plenty of games in the Big 12 this year, but just the nature of it not showing up, disappointing. A disappointing night of basketball. With that, Jim, let's try to get a little more positive here. What do you say?
I'm good with that. Where are you taking me here,
Pat? Well, we're going to talk some NFL to kick things up. We got our good buddy Tad Haslett stopping by. We'll talk NFL. We'll talk about the championships games as we get ready for it. Just a couple days away, and a lot of people, you like the wild card round. You like the divisional round. This one, though, hoping we get two good ones. This one can be a very, very good Sunday. We'll talk about it coming up on the other side as we take you up until 6 o'clock. Jimmy B and TC with you. It's 1700 KBGG.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
Sponsored by KFC. KFC's signature pot pie is filled with delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken and veggies and topped with a golden flaky crust. All for just $3.99. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Dr. Pepper Snapple Group is now filling Des Moines area positions. Dr. Pepper Snapple Group is hiring full-time merchandisers to provide high-quality merchandising support for Dr. Pepper Snapple Group brands to retail stores within an assigned territory. Apply online at dpsg.com/careers. That's dpsg.com/careers. Or click the link on their website. Join the Dr. Pepper team and receive a $500 sign-on bonus. Wouldn't you like to be a Pepper too? Dr. Pepper Snapple Group, an equal opportunity employer.
This is Trent Condon from 1700 KBGG. For every 10 miles per hour over 50 miles per hour, the risk of death in a crash is doubled. Make zero fatalities your goal and slow down.
Start spreading the news. Variety's Black Tie Gala, New York, New York, is set for January 19th. Black Tie is a gala evening emceed by Des Moines native David Anthony Higgins, known for his role in hit television show Mike and Molly. The evening features cocktails, dinner, and dancing. Variety, the children's charity, works to improve the lives of underprivileged, at-risk, and special needs children by gifting bikes, building inclusive playgrounds, providing support to critically ill children, and more. Join us January 19th at Black Tie to ensure all children are able to reach their full potential. Get your tickets for Variety's Black Tie at varietyiowa.com/black tie.
Washer Systems of Iowa, blasting grime and saving you time. At Washer Systems of Iowa, we have an experienced factory-trained service department and will work on any American-made pressure washer. Washer Systems of Iowa, featuring Mighty M industrial pressure washers. Mighty M, built in Iowa, number one in Iowa. And the presenting sponsor for you and I, head coach Ben Jacobson, each Monday on 1700. Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines. Or online, washersystems.com.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Jimmy B and TC, we take you up until 6 o'clock here today on your drive home. Happy to have you aboard with us here on a Thursday. Time to get into the NFL. AFC-NFC Championship games on the horizon. Now, there's one place to go when you're looking to talk NFL. And there's a man, Tad Haslip, with the Sporting News. Tad, good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
Can't complain here. Getting ready for it. And, well, from our Midwest outpost, we still have a team alive in the Minnesota Vikings. You had that one all along, didn't you, Tad? You knew that was a surefire touchdown at the end for Stephon Diggs.
Oh, yeah, 10 seconds left. You figure, oh, well, we know where this ball is going. Yeah, this is going to be no problem. 61 yards, easy. Yeah, who couldn't have predicted that?
All right, then, set us up. We're going to have the battle of backup quarterbacks as you get Nick Foles with Philly and Case Keenum with Minnesota. How is this going to play out, Tad?
Yeah, you know, as much as you don't want to focus on the two quarterbacks in this game because it's not the sexiest of matchups when it comes to NFL playoff football, that I think that's actually how this game is going to come down. I mean, look, if you look at the rest of these rosters, this is a game that, you know, if you're a football nerd, if you will, kind of like myself, I just love to watch the battle at the line of scrimmage. I mean, this is, you know, you're in for a real treat with this game. I mean, you get, you know, one of the best offensive lines in Philadelphia against a fantastic defensive front seven in Minnesota. And then Philly's defensive front seven is certainly no slouch. And then you got a Minnesota offensive line that's played really well as a unit at times this season. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And we know the battle between the coaching staffs is going to be fun to watch. So this game feels like a coin flip, you know, as far as who you're going to predict to win. So therefore, you kind of got to go to the quarterbacks. And the question is, do you trust Nick Foles against a great Vikings defense, or do you trust Case Keenum against a great Eagles defense? And regardless of where this game is being played, I think that Case Keenum has been the quarterback that's proved it all season. You know, I've been saying all year, like, look, I understand Case Keenum's having a great season and he's really lifting up this offense, but I just really wanted to see him do it in January. In my opinion, it didn't matter unless he did it in the playoffs, and he did it. You know, I mean, there were, beyond the crazy play at the end of Stephon Diggs, there were a handful of throws that Case Keenum made against New Orleans Saints. I thought were just really impressive, gutsy throws, and he proved what he needed to prove. And because of that, because you've seen that, and he's been involved playing in this offense longer than Nick Foles has, I think you have to give the Vikings a slight edge here, even though they're on the road.
So you mentioned the other side of Nick Foles. He was efficient against Atlanta, 23 of 30, 246, didn't turn it over, no interceptions in the game. But that was against Atlanta, a decent defense. This is a different category completely, though, what the Vikings bring out there when they trot their 11 defenders on the field. It feels like Nick Foles has to take some shots. They're going to have to open up the offense more. At least it feels like that to me. Do you see it the same way, Tad?
Absolutely, and that's why I think Alshon Jeffrey is a very key player in this matchup as well. Now, he's going to have his work cut out for him against Xavier Rhodes, presumably. But, you know, with this, you know, kind of West Coast style of offense that the Eagles like to run, you know, Nick Foles is pretty comfortable, you know, under Doug Peterson, but he's going to get very uncomfortable if he gets into, like, some second and third and long situations, and that's when this Vikings defense can really tee off. So, yeah, they have to stay on schedule with the running game, obviously, and with the quick passes, but you also got to keep them honest, and they're going to have to take some shots downfield. And Alshon Jeffrey really was not a factor against the Falcons. And like you said, Trent, they're not going to get away with that against this Minnesota Vikings defense. He has to be involved. And Zach Ertz, in the same breath, also has to be involved, mm-hmm. you know, kind of in the middle of the field, downfield, to try and take those shots, because otherwise Minnesota's just going to load up, and there's nothing that the Eagles are going to be able to do.
Trent and I had a conversation about the lousy turf in Philadelphia. And when they were the vet, it was the worst pancake I've ever even walked on. It was like walking on concrete with just a thin layer of something green carpet over the top of it. But in the game last weekend, Atlanta players were slipping on it, and Philly players were slipping on it. Running backs trying to make their cuts would lose their footing. Is there something to that, or do you think maybe there's something that they could do where the footing would be much more sure for the game on Sunday?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. And I remember the game in Los Angeles with the Falcons and the Rams. It was a mess too, and mm-hmm. they had a lot of time to prepare for that too. So, you know, I'm not sure to be honest with you. And look, this is probably something that the team has addressed, you know, with the field staff, and I almost have to say it kind of is what it is at this point. You know, it's winter time in Philadelphia, and, you know, I don't think a whole lot's going to change within a week, you know, based on the field conditions. So, you know, it's something that both teams are going to have to prepare for. I know the Vikings have certainly addressed in their team meetings, say, hey, look, and I'm sure that they're, you know, addressing it as far as cleats go, and, you know, the types of spikes you're wearing. But really, that's about the extent of it. That's as much as you can do from a preparation standpoint.
All right, Tad, from there, we continue on and we go to game one of the doubleheader. New England, Jacksonville. I've heard people try to come up with pertinent points about how Jacksonville can win this game. Give me a couple bullet points. Give me a couple of talking points how the Jags pull this shocker.
Well, I'm not going to pick the Jaguars, but it's not crazy, right? Because, I mean, if you think about the formula of beating New England, especially on the road, first of all, you have to have the attitude that you're not scared. You're not intimidated at all, and that's absolutely the attitude that this Jacksonville team plays with. They had that in Pittsburgh. And the other thing you have to have is the ability to get after Tom Brady. And we know that the Jaguars have that ability, too. They're very solid in the secondary, if not elite in the secondary. And then that front seven, I mean, it's as good as you're going to find with Malik Jackson and Calais Campbell and company. So they can put pressure on the Patriots. They can make life hard on them. It could be a low-scoring game. And those are the two best things that Jacksonville has going. They're not scared to go into Foxborough. They just went in and just beat up on a Pittsburgh Steelers team that everyone expected to beat them. So at this point, you know, the Jaguars are probably thinking, we weren't supposed to be here anyway. What do we have to lose? And that's the kind of attitude you need. But the problem is the Patriots still have Tom Brady, guys.
Is Blake Bortles the Blake Bortles of the game that we saw in Pittsburgh? Or is Blake Bortles the game we saw when they only could score 10 points at home against Buffalo?
Well, that's the problem, right? Nobody knows. You don't know which Blake Bortles you're going to get. And that's part of the point. You know, if you get the Blake Bortles that you had against Pittsburgh, the Jaguars have a pretty good chance. We've seen, you know, lesser quarterbacks, if you will, go into Foxborough and get it done. Joe Flacco's had some great games in Foxborough. So, yeah, I mean, look, if he's going to have to make some plays, there's no doubt about it. The Patriots are going to make him beat them. And if you get the player that you got against the Bills, it's not going to be enough. You know, the Jaguars are going to have to score more than 10 points to beat the Patriots. I don't think anybody expects anything less, but there's no way to answer that question because you just don't know. I don't think the Jaguars know which Blake Bortles they're going to get. The good thing about Blake Bortles is, and you've heard multiple teammates say this about him, is whether you get the good Bortles or the bad Bortles, he's the same guy on the sideline. He's the most even-keeled dude in that locker room. Whenever he comes off the field, whether he just threw a pick or a touchdown, he's going to have the same attitude. And that's really important for especially a kind of a team that's filled with young players on offense. To kind of stay even-keeled when good and bad things happen. So that's another thing going for the Jaguars in this one.
Tad, the team that knocked off the Steelers, Jacksonville, they move on. And some changes happening on the other side with Pittsburgh. As the Steelers, Mike Tomlin's going to be back, we know that, but changes in offensive coordinator questions. Ben Roethlisberger's talked in the past about retirement. Is that out there? If you're buying stock right now in the Pittsburgh Steelers, are you a buyer or are you a seller?
Well, you know, I'm still a buyer because at the end of the day, look, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're coached by a top five coach in this league. And the personnel on this team is still incredible as far as talent-wise. Now, the one issue or X factor, I guess, if you will, is what is Big Ben going to do? I mean, this is a guy who... You can't really take to heart anything he says, whether he's talking about the extent of an injury or whether it's retirement. You know, he can say that he's going to play three more years, but I don't know that anybody actually expects that. So that's the one, you know, kind of iffy part that makes me nervous about being a buyer when it comes to stock on the Steelers. But look, if they start off a little bit better against the Jaguars and if they don't kind of get punched right from the get-go, you know, there's a good chance they win that game and we're having a totally different conversation about the Steelers today. Talking about their chances of going into Gillette and pulling off the upset. So that's how close they were. That's how close they always are. This is a team that's always a playoff team, and it will continue to be a playoff team. But it's, you know, it's just games like that. What you just saw last week, it's really hard to win in this league, especially when you face a good defense, a good team like Jacksonville. And, if I'm a Steelers fan right now, I think I actually kind of like what's going on. I think a little bit of change and some fresh eyes for the offense is a good thing. And maybe it kind of rejuvenates Ben Roethlisberger because he hasn't necessarily gotten along with the offensive coaching staff over the years. And, you know, maybe he sees this and says, okay, you know, I have a few more years left. Let's get this done. I think it's probably a good time to be a Steelers fan right now.
Tad Heslop is our guest, NFL Sporting News. I'm real curious, what do you make of Brady and the hand incident that he had to go get x-rayed, found out there was really nothing wrong with it? Do you really think that's going to impact the game on Sunday?
I was, when I first heard this, I just was kind of joking with some coworkers that Tom Brady always finds a way to get on the injury report before big games like this. It's just kind of a trend during his tenure in New England. The only reason this one feels a little bit different is the idea that Tom Brady might be playing with a glove on his right hand, and that's not something he's done in years. I remember he tried it a long time ago, and he even said it didn't go well, and he never really wanted to do it again. So if he's willing to wear a glove in the AFC Championship game, something he's not used to, that tells you that there is actually something wrong with the hand. But the thing about the Patriots is they're not going to, if there is a problem with Tom Brady, they're so good at finding different ways to beat you. Whether it's just quick passes out of the backfield or certain schemes against certain coverages. That's just how they roll. They're just like so good at preparation, and they're going to find there aren't many weaknesses in this Jacksonville defense. Whichever weaknesses they are, they will find them, I promise you. And Tom Brady's hand, whether it's 100% or 80% or 7%, is going to be fine at the end of the day, and they're going to do their best to figure out a way to get it done. So I wouldn't be too worried about the hand thing, although it is interesting considering he's actually thinking about wearing a glove.
Yeah, so something to keep an eye on certainly through the rest of this week leading into the game on Sunday. Hey, Tad, last thing for me. I'll let Jim finish up with you here. I was talking earlier today with your colleague over at the Sporting News, Vinny Iyer, and he had an article talking about Kirk Cousins, his possible destinations. It was who you'd expect. The Browns were on there. The Broncos, who many people feel might be the inside track to get him re-signing in Washington. But then a team I hadn't thought a whole lot about, the Minnesota Vikings. All three of their quarterbacks are not under contract for next season. Do you see that as a real possibility that the Vikings, regardless of what happens on Sunday against the Eagles or in the Super Bowl, that they'd be looking to go out with a lot of cap room and bring in a guy like a Kirk Cousins?
I think the fact that you now for sure, well, not for sure, I guess, but you are probably going to have coaching changes on the offensive side of the ball, and because of those changes, you have to also assume that Case Keenum is going to be gone. Yeah, and I'm like you. It took me talking to Vinny to actually think about that, but he's right. It's actually a pretty ideal fit if Kirk Cousins, of course, becomes available, which is still, no one's totally sure that's going to happen, but I think it would kind of be a home run for the Vikings if you think about it. I mean, we know how good this team is, right? Because they're playing on championship weekend, and as well as Case Keenum played, Kirk Cousins is capable of playing that well, if not better. So I think it would be a great move for the Vikings, and I think it would be great for Kirk Cousins to kind of get out of a situation that hasn't necessarily been ideal for his development in Washington, and to go play for Mike Zimmer and a really good coaching staff, a really good organization. Up in Minnesota, I think it would be a home run for both parties.
All right, quick aside, I lied. I'm jumping back in here. So, all right, you know Vinny obviously very well. I maintain he is the smartest guest that we have on the airwaves. He's won in Jeopardy, the game show with Alex Trebek. He went to Northwestern, not public school like yours truly. Vinny, is he that smart also when you're just hanging around the office and talking football back and forth too?
Yes. I tell my friends all the time that, working with Vinny, I've worked with Vinny for about 4 or 5 years now, and I've told my friends that, I learn something every day, but I usually learn two things every day because I also learn something from Vinny. Like, he really is. Like, he's just like an encyclopedia of football knowledge. And not only that, but if I'll do a little plug here. He wrote two preview articles, one for each championship game, and he really goes really deep into the matchup. Mm-hmm. For example, in the NFC when the Vikings have the ball and when the Eagles have the ball, and just the depth that he goes into. It's just so impressive, and he gets into formations, certain matchups against certain coverages, who has the advantage, who's the X factor on both teams. It's really good. You can probably just click on his author page and you can scroll down and find those articles. But it's just those articles are like how he talks. That's just how he is. He's a brilliant dude for sure.
All right, you got 45 seconds. We're gonna put you feet to the fire. Who you got? And why? And I just checked the weather for both Philly and Boston. 50 degrees and sunny in Philadelphia on Sunday. Boston, 46 and partly sunny on Sunday. So it looks like weather will not really be a major factor. Who you got?
So, you know, I'm disappointed because I was getting all excited because the beginning of the playoffs with the Patriots and the Saints. And then Case Keenum and Stephon Diggs have to just go and screw everything up. So I have to stick with the Patriots in the AFC just to keep the consistency. I just think, you know, the leadership and the preparation habits of this team are just too strong. As good as Jacksonville is and as well as they've played and as good as they look against the Steelers, I got to go chalk and I got to go with them. And in the NFC, I think I have to give the Vikings an ever so slight edge. I still do feel like this game's like a coin flip. Like, if I had a coin in front of me, I would do that for you guys and just heads or tails, and then I'd pick the game for you. I just think that Case Keenum has played well enough throughout the season that he's proved that he's good enough. And I just think the story, the idea, the magic of, you know, that touchdown play and the chance of playing a Super Bowl in their home stadium, it's just kind of all lining up for kind of that just magical tale. So give me the Vikings in the NFC.
Good stuff. Hey, Tad, as always, good talking with you. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, guys. Anytime.
Tad Haslett from the Sporting News. We're a ton late. We got to take a break when we come back. We're back into the local scene on the Cyclones. Matt Nelson, wide right, Natty Light. He's next here on Jimmy B and TC.
Home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at TheRookieSportsCards.com. Camp Sunnyside, taking a boat
ride, is Joey's favorite thing to do. Easter Seals Iowa provides support for children and adults with disabilities in our community. From the fun of Camp Sunnyside to employment and daily living skills, Easter Seals provides a wide range of support to promote independence.
We have so much fun.
Learn more at EasterSealsIA.org.
Sponsored by KFC. KFC's signature pot pie is filled with delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken and veggies and topped with golden flaky crust. All for just $3.99. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
There's a great deal for everyone at JCPenney. Now through Sunday only, come in and find amazing deals on items for the whole family. Save up to 60% off exertion activewear, coats, hats, gloves, and scarves for everyone. Plus, basics for boys, girls, and men, and bras and socks for her are buy one, get one 50% off. Got a gift card? Use it today, in-store or at JCP.com. Hurry and Sunday, JCPenney. Offer valid 119 to 121. Buy one, get one. Offer valid 116 to 23. Offer represents savings on regular original prices. While supplies last, some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Attention shoppers, cleanup on aisle 14. Cleanup on aisle 14. Someone dropped a jar of pickles. Pickles. Kosher pickles.
Beatboxing at a big box store. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
A red minivan has the lights on in the parking lot.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Geico.
1700 KBGG is your home for high school sports. Trek at it here. Join me Tuesdays with Tip-Off Tuesdays and Fridays on Fast Break Fridays here on 1700 KBGG. Play-by-play action with girls, boys, doubleheaders, and high school wrestling taking the airwaves during these cold winter months. It all culminates with the state wrestling tournament from Wells Fargo Arena, along with the girls and boys state basketball tournaments. Your home for high school sports in Central Iowa. 1700 KBGG.
It's that time of year. The cold weather is here. The Animal Rescue League wants to remind you that unpredictable winter weather can be very dangerous for your animals, and we encourage you to bring them inside this time of year. Animals should not be left in cars and should only be outside long enough to relieve themselves. If you witness a situation where an animal is in danger due to weather conditions, call your local law enforcement or animal control.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Hey guys, Trent Condon here again from 1700 KBGG. We made it, a new year upon us, a happy 2018. I know a lot of people have New Year's resolutions, things you want to improve upon, but a lot of times you need help. If better health is one of your goals in 2018, I have a place for you that has helped me. It's New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness has built a strong history helping one patient at a time. They'll make a program specifically designed for you, from weight loss, hormonal treatment, maybe it's migraines. So many things that New Leaf Wellness can help you with in 2018. What I want you to do, give them a call today, 515-650-1358. That's 650-1358. Give them a call. Let's feel better together. New Leaf Wellness, 650-1358.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Welcome back once again. It's Jimmy B and TC here, 1700 KBGG. As we're awaiting our buddy Matt Nelson right now, Jimmy B.
Okay.
He's when we first met Matt, he was finishing up his undergrad work over at Iowa State. Went over then, was working in grad school at Nebraska. But now he's in the real world. And, you know, sometimes, just sometimes, Jimmy B., work can get in the way of sitting on the radio with a couple of goobers like us and talking Cyclones. So that has got the best of them right now. So we'll wait for Matt. We'll try to track him down for a little bit. And the effort last night, Jim, you know, we talked about it at the top. I was dumbfounded by it. It's something that is so different than what we've seen out of Iowa State so far this year.
I'm with you. I expected them to come out, particularly coming off that victory that they had over Baylor at home, and I would have thought they would have felt pretty good about themselves going into that game, particularly with Jalen Fisher out of the lineup, the fine point guard for TCU. And they made Robinson, who moved into that point guard spot, taking Fisher's place, I mean, they made him look like Jason Kidd. They made him look like Tiny Archibald. The guy had 17 assists, set the school record. So I don't know why they struggled in that game last night. It's a hard one to kind of put your finger on. All I know is that head coach Steve Prohm, his eyes popped out of his head about six times when he called that first timeout. And rightfully so, because he wasn't getting the kind of effort that he thought he was going to get out of his team in that game last night, partner.
Yeah, defensively, it was head-scratching. Yeah. It was just open shots all over the place. Robinson, I told you yesterday, Jimmy B, you were more nervous about Fisher being out from a TCU perspective than I was because they play with two point guards. Robinson's a very good player.
He is.
Kenrick Williams is a nice player. I look at TCU and watching them last night and watching them last year that run through the NIT and watch them in the regular season, and you know they go into the game last night. They're 1-4 in those close losses, but you know they're a couple moments away from being a top five team in the country. It's not crazy; those tight games go the other way that they're sitting in the top five. That's a really good team, and we're always searching for those teams a little bit off the cuff. You know, who's going to be the 4 or 5 seed that gets to a Final Four? Who's going to be that surprise team? Talent wise, I love TCU.
Yeah. I agree. They've got guys who can play, and it's just not it's just not Robinson and Brozianski. They got players.
Yeah.
And they can beat you from the outside shooting the three, and they can drop you down low on the block. I mean, look, Brozianski just he just did whatever he wanted to do. Hello, Cameron Lard. That was a little eye-opener for that young man, because you got to play against a guy who knows how to play the post. And it was an experienced team against an inexperienced team. And when that takes place, well, you get what you got last night, and it ended up being a big blowout.
So now, looking forward, I saw you tweet out last night, Jimmy B. I took you off mute for a night. And now you're back on.
That was
on
nice of you.
Yeah, for a night.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
I mean, I can only handle so much, Jimmy B.
I know.
But
I know.
And you were talking about the future. And the future with Michael Jacobson coming in and Mariel Shayok next year. Two guys that are going to be incredibly helpful. Plus the whole freshman class with all those new bodies. But as I was watching last night, Laird playing together with Solomon Young, it almost, they have some similar skill set. And it doesn't feel like they're always comfortable playing together. And then you add Michael Jacobson next year into that mix. That's going to be something that is bear watching going forward here, how you play those guys together. Because I think those are two guys that, at least at this point in their career, have kind of matching skill sets. Now, Jacobson's a better defender. He's a very good shot blocker and on-the-ball defender in the post there. And that is going to help out. But I do wonder with those guys how much you're going to be able to play those three together at the four and the five spots, because I see a lot of skill sets that do kind of match up. And just something that popped in my head as I was sitting there frustrated last night, Jimmy B, watching it. What's your takeaway from that?
I'm kind of with you on that. I have a feeling that Solomon Young might be the guy coming at the first big man coming off the bench for next season. And that wouldn't be a bad thing. Jacobson showed me a lot when he was playing at Nebraska.
Yeah.
Cyclone fans are going to be very pleased by not only how tough and rugged this kid is, but you saw him in high school. He's a terrific athlete as well. And Shayok entering on the transfer next season as well, he's a terrific player and scorer, Trent.
Yep.
It's going to change the whole dynamic of what Iowa State does right now. And Steve Prohm may not have to have his eyeballs pop out of his head in the first 4 minutes of the first half next season.
Oh, well, I know another guy's eyeballs that were probably popping out. It's our buddy Matt Nelson joining us wide right, Natty Light. And we're talking some Cyclones with Matty. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, guys. Boy, you're right. My eyeballs were bugging out, but it wasn't within the first 4 minutes. It was within about a minute of that game, and I think Steve Prohm would probably tell you the same.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Look, he didn't expect the way his team played last night, particularly coming off the home win against Baylor. I think he expected more energy, more engagement. And TCU just pretty much did whatever they wanted to do, whether if it was, you know, on the pick and roll with Brozianski, or if they were going down low and then kick out and shoot an open three. I think probably that was the most disappointing fact for Prohm last night.
Yeah, I would agree that the defensive effort certainly has to just drive him nuts. And to your point, I don't know that there was any way to anticipate that kind of performance. Not all dissimilar from, the step back that Iowa took. I actually think both teams played pretty similarly here over the last, at least this past game. But, you know, you're right. You get a home win. You play well, with the exception of maybe Donovan Jackson. You're starting to work in some of your bench players who've been out all season. And not only do you come out and not compete on the defensive end, guys, but you can clearly see by the under four timeout in the first half that 4 minute TV timeout in the first half that they just didn't have it. They had really no desire to be there, at least on the defensive end. So not only is that surprising, you got to think that's a little concerning, right?
It is when guys don't compete at this level. It leads to some frustration. We saw that from Prohm, and it was so out of character of him too. I mean, we're used to kind of this fun-loving, little goofy guy out there. And he was ticked off, and he probably said gosh darn in there a couple of times and shucks and really got him fired up. But kidding aside, that is concerning going forward. You know this is a rebuilding year, but at the very least, these kids, you got to find guys that want to compete that are going to dig in.
Yeah, and, you know, Plum getting mad at those guys is still probably like your average dad yelling at his kids for leaving the front door open for 10 seconds or leaving all the lights on when they get home after going out for the evening. But, no, I think part of it is a problem that I see at a lot of levels, and that's there's really no way to incentivize defense, unfortunately. And what I find kind of the most disheartening, and I know Steve talked about it at length at his press conference yesterday, is that he's kind of told this team from the beginning that more than likely explosive offense isn't going to be their identity. If they want to compete, they have to be, you know, better than most teams on the defensive end. And I think we've seen this year when they play that way, they don't just have a chance to win. They have a chance to win, you know, by 10 points or so like they did against Baylor in stretches. The defense was very good against the Bears. And, you know, there may be a scuffling team right now, and maybe the effort still wasn't good enough to beat a team like TCU, and that's kind of what we saw. But, I agree. And, you know, Cameron Lard still was active in blasting shots, but even he didn't hustle as well as he has lately in the paint. So really just kind of inexplicable to go, you know, it wasn't a quick turnaround. I know later games on the road can sometimes kind of be difficult, but TCU, you know, their building isn't exactly tough to play in, and they were missing their starting point guard in Jalen Fisher, one of the better point guards in the Big 12. Yeah. So quite frankly, Trent, I at least expected the Cyclones to cover that 10-point spread, and they weren't even close.
No, it was despicable. Okay, off of that game, on to the next, Texas Tech, a team that's got players, and they are physical, and they will take you to the basket in a heartbeat. The game is back in Hilton. Does Iowa State rebound and get a W, or does Texas Tech take them to the woodshed?
You know, that's a great question, and just the nature of this Iowa State team lends me to believe that more than likely the Cyclones are going to pull out a W on Saturday. And I say that for a few reasons. To credit Texas Tech, I really didn't see this season coming. I guess maybe it's just me that was surprised, but gosh, they've got enough returning players. There's a lot of senior talent on their roster. And they have given Iowa State fits in the past, but the way that this team played yesterday, guys, I can't see that becoming the norm, because I just don't think that Steve Prohm will let it happen. And the offensive side of the ball was there. I know there were some turnover issues, and for whatever reason, Nick Weatherbab has been rather quiet here during Big 12 play, but I think the offense still performed pretty well for the most part. Obviously, they shot 52% and somehow still got blown out by 20 points. Texas Tech does give you some challenges with their roster. Odiasi is a really good player. Stevenson has been really good for them this year as well. And then Zach Smith is a player that I think teams have really struggled to guard thus far. And if we saw anything, if anything does carry over from that TCU game, it's that pretty much anybody on their roster can hurt Iowa State. And in the past, that's been limited to, it seems like, big men who can shoot from the three-point line. So Texas Tech is kind of a similar roster construction to TCU. So, unfortunately, if the defense doesn't improve, we could see them get woodshedded.
Not looking forward to another woodshedding after what we saw last night. Four straight hours of bad basketball. Let's hope four straight hours of good basketball on Saturday with the in-state teams. As always, Matt, good catching up with you. Let's do it again soon, all right?
Yeah, thanks guys for having me, and hopefully there'll be chances to chat with me soon, and we won't have to talk about drubbings like we got in Fort Worth last night.
Very, very true. Hey, hold on, Matt. I got something to ask you off air. That's Matt Nelson, wide right Natty Light Cyclone coverage from the boys over at SB Nation. Quick timeout. We kick off the 5 o'clock hour. From the Clones to the Hawkeyes, Derek Peck from Hawkeye Heaven. He joins us on the other side. It's 1700 KBGG.
Hey, it's Bill Ryder. Nice to be talking to the home crowd again in Central Iowa, where I was raised, where I got married. The show is right on you, 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays on Des Moines Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Sponsored by the Extragen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Still taking your child's temperature the way it was done decades ago? Upgrade to the Extragen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. The Extragen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Available at fine retailers everywhere.
Dr. Pepper Snapple Group is now filling Des Moines area positions. Dr. Pepper Snapple Group is hiring full-time merchandisers to provide high-quality merchandising support for Dr. Pepper Snapple Group brands to retail stores within an assigned territory. Apply online at dpsg.com/careers. That's dpsg.com/careers. Or click the link on their website. Join the Dr. Pepper team and receive a $500 sign-on bonus. Wouldn't you like to be a Pepper too? Dr. Pepper Snapple Group, an equal opportunity employer.
At the Home Depot, free carpet installation means free carpet installation. And free includes clearing out furniture, ripping out old carpet, hauling it away, even carpeting stairs with no hidden fees. Free installation on carpet $699 or more means free installation only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast. And you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering 6 times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
When you hear Washer Systems of Iowa, you think about pressure washers. The Washer Systems of Iowa does so much more. Industrial floor care equipment, waste oil heaters, water heaters, accessories and parts, washers, used equipment, along with repair, preventative maintenance, and operator training. Selling and servicing commercial cleanup equipment for 29 years, Washer Systems of Iowa. And the presenting sponsor for you and I, head coach Ben Jacobson, each Monday on 1700. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast. East 14th Street in Des Moines, or online, washersystems.com.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule a free, no obligation consultation. That's